Hey, good morning, Rev City family. How are we doing today? Who's grateful to be in the house of God? Give the Lord some praise today on Mother's Day. So good to be with the people of God in the presence of God. Hey, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor. Greet someone in the name of the Lord. Maybe if you are sitting next to a woman or a mom, say Happy Mother's Day to someone. And it'll buy me a moment to greet the online community from Kansas to Kenya and Sri Lanka, many places and people tuning in on the online platform to worship Jesus with us and grow together in our faith. Happy Mother's Day to you. At Rev City Church, we honor moms. We honor all women on Mother's Day because regardless of whether you are a biological mom, a spiritual mom, an adoptive mom, a foster mom, or a woman of influence to other people, we honor you. You are important to the plans and the purposes of God, and we say thank you today for all that you do for so many. Guys in the house, can we just put our hands together and thank the ladies in our lives? If you have your Bible, and I hope that one way or the other, you always do, would you turn or click to John chapter 2? Excited to encourage you with a passage that just illustrates the importance of a woman, of a mom, in the story of Jesus and his life. And don't worry, guys, it's a Mother's Day message in some ways, but there will be a lot of truth, a lot of principles that you will see you can readily apply to your life as well. You know, God's in the business. All throughout this book, we read about God divinely partnering with people, right? When he wanted to write this book, he partnered with 40 different authors. When he wanted to deliver his people from the hands of slavery, the bondage of slavery at the hands of Pharaoh, he partnered with Moses. And when he wanted to deliver his people into the promised land that he had spoken and promised to the people of God, he partnered with Joshua and Caleb. And when he wanted to preserve his people from the evil plans that were hatched to destroy them, he partnered with a woman named Esther. When he wanted to preach the word to a place called Nineveh, he partnered with a whale and a man to bring about his purpose. When he wanted to bring about the plan of salvation and redemption, not to build an organization or establish a denomination, but to rescue his sons and daughters back into a relationship with him, he partnered with a mom, a teenage Jewish girl named Mary. And he is still in the business of partnering with moms to further his purposes. Listen, dads are involved, but moms are committed, right? God is very, very smart. He's very, very wise. How many of you know that's an understatement, right? He knew what he was doing when he committed the more challenging aspect of bringing life into the world to the ladies, right? He knew what he was doing. And you know something is going to be challenging when it starts with 1 to 20 hours of something called labor, right? And God is just so smart. He's so wise. And he formed and fashioned you uniquely, ladies, for some of the things that he formed and fashioned you to do and be in your lives. And maybe that's not popular to say in the day and hour, in this day and age, and in this culture, but I'm grateful that he created you uniquely. I'm grateful that he fitted you uniquely with the grace and the gift that he has called you to express in the body of Christ, in our homes, in our families, in this community, in your workplace. And so God's still in the business of partnering with moms to advance his purposes and promises. Perhaps no other role in life is aligned with the heart and nature of Christ. Selfless, sacrificial servanthood. This might not be popular in the day and age as well to say, but the womb is a sacred place where God is at work. Psalm 139:13 says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." There may be accidental pregnancies, but there are no accidental babies. And the womb is a sacred place where God is at work, and God is still in the business. Moms are important and instrumental to his plans. Can we pray and invite the Lord to speak to us? Moms, dads, for some of you, maybe Mother's Day is a joyous occasion. For some of you, maybe it's a painful moment, a reminder of a loved one lost or a prayer that wasn't answered. But today, let's ask the Lord to use this message to speak to us uniquely and individually. He knows where you're at. He knows your name. He sees your story. He sees the chapter within the story that you are presently residing in. And so, Lord, we invite you today, Holy Spirit, we invite you today to come and to use an imperfect person, an imperfect message to reveal in a greater way the heart of a perfect Father towards us. And we thank you that you could use one moment, one message to speak uniquely and individually to every person, every man, every woman, every mother, every father, every son, every daughter, every season, every circumstance, every situation. You, Lord, you can speak into it, Lord. Use one moment, one message to bring faith, to bring courage, to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring comfort to those who need that today. And I thank you, Lord, that as much as I care for this message, Lord, to have an impact and effect on the hearts of your people, you care even more because these are your children, Lord, that I am preaching to today. They belong to you, sons and daughters, ones that you love tremendously, ones that you sacrificed, paid a great and dear price to bring back into relationship with you. And so we welcome you, we honor you, and we thank you in advance for doing all those things we just prayed and whatever's in your heart to do or speak to us today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, come on with a shout. Amen, amen, amen. So John chapter 2, we read this powerful story of the role of Jesus's mom in the initiation of Jesus's ministry. And on the third day, verse 1, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" And we know that he was God because he got away with saying something like that with a tone like that, right? Not advisable, guys. "What does this have to do with me, woman? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." Now, there were 6 stone water jars there, verse 6, for the Jewish rites of purification. These religious ceremonies, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water that had now become wine, and he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So moms are vitally important to God's plans. And I'm going to draw out some points from that chapter, from that story, and encourage you with some biblical principles and truths that moms can apply to their lives, that every believer can apply to your life of faith. Number one is that Jesus honored his mom even when it didn't line up with his preferences, plans, or previous conception of how things should or would go in his life. And honoring your mom and your dad is important enough to God that it made his top 10 list. Have you ever thought about that? Right alongside, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, right there, honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6:1 kind of doubles down on this and says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." So here's what I know in a room this size and people joining online is that there are a vast array of experiences that you had with your earthly parents. And some of us were blessed to have godly, God-fearing parents. By the way, right there, chance to honor my mother-in-law that's right here, Lois. Can you put your hands together, welcome her? She's present today. Thank you for being a godly, God-fearing example and raising up my bride, my wife, to be such a godly woman. Some of us had godly parents. And today's an opportunity to give thanks for godly parents in our lives that trained us up to know and fear the Lord, that had us in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Put on your khaki pants and your button-up shirt, Thomas, and get in the car. We're going to church. Regardless of whether I wanted to or not, how many know sometimes I was reluctant, but now I look back and I'm grateful and thankful for parents that drug me to church and had me in youth and had me in Sunday school. It made an imprint, an effect on our lives. So some of you had godly parents. By the way, all of you that are parents have the opportunity now to be those parents and to get your family and to get your kids in church And you could play the sports and do the stuff, but in the midst of all that, get them in church. Get them in youth group. Get them in Sunday school. Get them learning about Jesus and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. So some of us had parents like that. Some of us had parents that were distant, abusive, neglected us, harmed you, did something to you, didn't do or say the things that you desperately needed them to do or say, withheld their love or affection, or only expressed it to you in a performance-based mentality. In other words, when you were making the team or making the grades, there was some love and affirmation, but otherwise there was not. But here's what I want to encourage you with. Regardless of where your experience falls on that spectrum, godly, blessed parents or painful, difficult past, we can choose to honor our parents. It's the first commandment with the promise. And here's the thing, regardless of where your experience falls on that spectrum, we all have imperfect parents who had imperfect parents themselves. Did you know that even Jesus had to make this decision? He had to choose to honor his father and mother. We see another example in Luke chapter 2, where it says in verse 43, after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, speaking about Jesus and Mary and Joseph. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him amongst their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. So if you've had a difficult parenting moment, let me just encourage you. You haven't lost Jesus. That's what happened here. They literally lost Jesus. And can you imagine, how many of you have ever lost your kid at a park or a zoo or something? And you know the anxiety that comes along with that, right? And so they hustle back, and it says 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions, and all who heard were amazed at Jesus' understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? Verse 49, Jesus asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he, Jesus, returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Mary grabbed him by the ear, drug him out of the temple, and took him back to Nazareth. And it says his mother stored all these things in her heart. And even though he was ready to step into his ministry, his purpose, his destiny, the people were marveling at the wisdom, at the insight that he had as he shared in the temple, even at the age of 12, Jesus honored and submitted to his parents and went back to Nazareth. And for 18 years was part of Joseph's carpentry business with a hammer and a nail, building the tables, building the houses, building the chairs with the very instruments that would one day pierce his hands for your healing, freedom, forgiveness, and reconciliation. And he submitted to his parents for 18 more years. Jesus, it says, verse 52, as a result of this, in the context of him honoring his earthly parents, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all the people. So you won't have perfect parents. Many of us had imperfect parents. There's a blessing, there's a promise. The first commandment with the blessing is honor your father and mother. Jesus honored his mom even when it didn't line up with his preference, his plan, or his previous conception of how things should or could go in his life. Number two, principle to extract from this story and encourage you with is that this miracle involved water turning into wine. It involved wine. It involved Jesus creating something in a miracle moment, something that normally takes months or even years if you want to do it really right for that fermentation process to take place and wine to be developed. Jesus does it in an instant. And there's something I encourage us with often, because most times in our life, we have to patiently wait for the work of God, the hand of God, the purposes of God, or the promises of God to come to pass. We've been preaching about it the last few weeks, right? As we're looking at the pathway to the promised land, and we're looking at how the people of God had to trust God as they marched around. Joshua knew the number of times the people did not. He knew the timing. All that the people knew was the action steps that God had given them. And so I encourage us a lot. You got to be ready to experience some delay in life. And that delay is oftentimes God's protection and his better planned connection. And I've encouraged us, and I do often, that oftentimes, almost every time, when God gives a dream or a calling or a promise to purpose, he starts a process. But something else is also true, and I have faith in my heart that today is a moment in time. Sometimes you need a moment with God, a word from God, a touch from God. And in one moment's time, sometimes throughout our lives of faith, God will show up as we've been trusting him, as we've been taking the silent laughs around the walls, as we've been praying and fasting, hoping and believing. And he shows up, and I'm grateful for those moments in my life of faith where he shows up and he just does something. He touches my heart. He heals my body. He does an instantaneous miracle that the prescriptions and the processes of the world, nothing wrong with some of those things, might take months or even years to accomplish. We talked about it last week, that those two words in the New Testament that we use one English word for, the word time. That there's chronos time, the process of time, the sequential order of time. And then there's kairos, which is a divinely appointed moment within chronos time where God shows up and does something. Where he shows up and brings the healing, the miracle, the freedom, the forgiveness, the grace that you need. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today. It's someone here and you need a kairos moment, a moment where God shows up and touches you, heals you, gives you a word, gives you the freedom, gives you the strength. It's what we see here. Jesus stepped in and did something that should have taken a long time in a moment of time. Can I be bold enough to just ask you to be bold enough? To say, and many hands went up in the 9 o'clock service. I'm just saying that to just give you a release to participate in this today. If you need a kairos moment with God, you've been trusting, believing, praying, hoping within the chronos sequential time of your life. And today you just need God to show up and do something. Touch your heart, touch your life, heal your body, make a way, bring a breakthrough. Would you be willing to just lift your hand before the Lord? So Lord, I thank you today. I've got faith in my heart. There's agreement in this room. Two or three are gathered together in agreement. We're believing and we're not doubting. And I pray, Lord, that there would be testimonies that come out of this moment that you've ordained, God. I pray that there would be testimonies of you showing up, a touch from God, a word from God, the hand of God upon your life or your circumstance that will expedite, that will usher in a kairos moment of freedom, of deliverance, of breakthrough, of fresh faith or courage, of healing in a physical body, Lord, of provision, something that just is gonna happen this week that they've been praying for and believing for and trusting for, Lord, that you're gonna just bring it to pass in an expedited way because of your might, because of your power, and because of your love for your people in Jesus' mighty name. And if you'll agree with that, somebody say amen. Sometimes even before the circumstances or situations change, your heart towards the situation can change because of one word, because of one shift, because of one revelation from God. Mary wasn't sweating or fretting, fussing or complaining. She just realized there was a real issue, a real challenge, a real problem. And did you catch what she said? She said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She didn't try to sort it out or figure it out or give God the prescription or the plan or the pattern or a bunch of marching orders. She just said, whatever this man tells you to do, do what he tells you to do. And oftentimes our breakthrough, our deliverance, our freedom, our new season is associated with the same willingness to be obedient to that command. Do whatever the Lord has put in your heart to do. Do what he tells you to do. Lots of opinions about what you should do. Get with God. Some of you here today, you have something you've known for a little bit of time here that God has told you to do something. You've been procrastinating. You've been presuming. You've been putting it off. And today's the moment of time to do what the Lord has called you to do. Some of us, our breakthrough is tied to obedience to that same thing. We might not like what God initially says. We might not get it. It might conflict with our flesh, our preference, or our opinion, but the breakthrough is almost always associated with doing whatever God calls you to do. Someone say amen. Number three, Jesus came to shift everything from religious rituals and ceremonial traditions to relationship. There were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification. In other words, these jars were there for these cleansing ceremonies, the washing that they had to do to be made clean before God, these continuing, ongoing, recurring rituals. And now we see that the pots that were once dedicated to those religious purposes are now about to be emptied and filled to the brim with wine, and not just any wine, but top shelf wine. And here's what we know in the Bible is that wine represents joy. Wine represents joy. And there's a joy that I hope someone finds, receives, or has restored in your heart today that can only come from knowing the Lord. In a culture that says there are many things that we have to accomplish and achieve and accumulate and accrue for ourselves to be happy in life, and nothing wrong with being happy. God wants you happy. But there's a distinction that I like to draw for us, that there's a difference between the temporal, fleeting, circumstantial happiness that the world is pursuing and the joy that comes from knowing Jesus and knowing what he did, the lengths that he went to rescue you, to forgive you, to heal you, to bring you into a relationship with him. And some of you need to get it today. I mean, if you just knew, not just in your head. I heard someone recently say, we can miss what God's doing. A lot of times we miss it by about 18 inches, the distance between your head and your heart. Because we know it in our head, but we don't really know it. We haven't really gotten it. That revelation hasn't really landed in our heart. If you really knew how important you are to the Lord, that he was willing to come, live, die, go to that cross, go to that tomb, and rise again for you. For the joy set before him, it says Jesus endured that. What was the joy that was set before him? You being brought back into relationship with him. And there's a joy that comes not from how things go, but from who you know and from what you know, that you were chosen, that you were rescued, redeemed, you were ransomed, the book of Hebrews says, not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the maker of heaven and earth, galaxies so vast, he says in his word, you are my masterpiece. He says, you are his prized possession. And some of you, the enemy has deceived you so much from believing that you are loved by God, received by God, accepted by God, affirmed by God, that you're hearing me say this and you're thinking about people to your left and your right. You. He leaves the 99 to find the one. And when we get this, there's a joy that gets so deep in our hearts that it doesn't matter if I'm getting the stuff, all the stuff that I have to accomplish, accumulate, accrue for myself. The world says, you got to do this or be with those people to be deemed a success and to find happiness in life. And when you get that joy deep down in your heart, all those other things can even be taken from you and you can still have the joy of the Lord that Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says is your strength, is your strength. Strength that it comes from a joy that is unshakable, that transcends the circumstances and situations of the world. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what it says. So that's why the enemy works overtime to try to create situations and circumstances in our life that cause us to drift from spiritual joy, because he knows if he can get you to drift from spiritual joy, he can cause you to operate in a weakened condition and you could be vulnerable to his attacks. And so who am I preaching to today? And you need what the psalmist said to occur in your life. Psalm 51 verse 12 says this, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And that's good news. Joy can be restored. Joy can be restored. And the psalmist said, not the joy of all the stuff in my life, not the joy of the resources or the promotion or the people or the possessions that's in my life, the joy of my salvation, knowing that I am loved so much that Jesus came to ransom me back into a relationship with my Heavenly Father. And nothing, not anything, not death, no darkness, no sickness, no demon, no hantavirus or whatever can ever separate you from that love and the knowledge that brings the joy of the Lord, the joy of your salvation, which is spiritual strength that allows you to endure even on a dark day. Someone say amen and give the Lord some praise for what he did. Thank you, Lord, for joy restored today because of a deeper knowledge, awareness, a revelation, not just in our heads, not head knowledge, revelation in our heart, just how much you did for us and what it says about your love for us. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, Jesus said to them, now draw some out. And if you'll allow me just a little creative liberty, a little license here to kind of take that little statement right there, now draw some out, and kind of elaborate on it a little bit. As I was reading that, I thought about Mother's Day, and I thought about moms, and I thought about just life and things we go through in life, and that, especially for you moms, being a mom, motherhood is a constant exercise in having resources drawn out from you. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, just things being drawn out from you. And you can look up if you're not careful, and so much has been drawn out of you that you begin to feel spiritually empty. But the good news is Jesus today wants you to understand that he wants to fill and restore and replenish whatever it is that has been drawn out from you. And man, being a mom is a commitment to that, right? I heard this one time, it made me laugh. I thought I would share it with you. There were two spouses, a mom and a dad, sitting on the couch watching TV, and the mom said, honey, I think I'm gonna get up and go to bed. So she got up from the chair there, and on the way to bed, the mom switched the laundry, wiped down the countertop, set out the kids' clothes, set out the little kids' lunches, logged on to deposit money in the older kids' lunch account, emailed the teacher, paid a bill online, fed the dog, let out the dog, brought in the cats, made the coffee, brought back in the dog, checked to see if the doors were locked, adjusted the thermostat, folded the last load of laundry, removed her makeup, washed her face, brushed her teeth, dried her hair, checked to see if the cars parked outside were locked, checked on each of the kids one last time, double-checked to see if the house doors were locked, kissed her husband on the cheek, and then went to bed. A few minutes later, dad decided to go to bed, so he did. But can I just say thank you, ladies, for all you do and all the things that you do, seen and unseen, right? And all the things that you carry. Yeah, come on, that's a good idea. That's a good place to clap and applaud. And all the spiritual and emotional weight that you carry before the Lord for your families, for your kids and your grandkids, those that you already have, those that you're yet to have. I just say thank you. I pray today that you would feel the weight of our honor and our love and our appreciation. And I pray that you would feel today the weight of the Lord's pleasure towards you. And that you're important to the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. So where life has drawn out from you, the Lord today wants to come and refill you. And here's the thing, God, the Lord, he has a way of calling us to assignments that require us to desperately depend upon him, right? I mean, being a parent, being a husband, being a wife, being a mom, whatever it is that the Lord's called you to, oftentimes he puts us in those situations that require us to desperately depend upon him. But oftentimes, unfortunately, we tend to fall into the trap of attempting to do what he's called us to do in our own strength. And we look up, and that's where we find ourselves weak and weary and empty and spiritually dry. And if the enemy can't keep you from moving forward, he'll get behind you, he'll push you, and he'll stress you until you're on the verge of giving up. Because we can grow weary even in doing good, right? Galatians 6:9. Sometimes even the good things, the good assignments that God has assigned to us. Well, let me encourage you today. God is a God of rest and rhythms. We talked about honoring your father and mother and made the top 10 list. You know what else did? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Find the pace, find the rhythm, take a rest, take a stop. He's in your steps and your stops. I've been encouraging you with that the last few weeks. And sometimes we have to learn how to say no to what is good, to say yes to what is God. And I want you to just think about those two words. Just picture them right now, good and God. The difference is one sometimes. Just one revelation, one shift in the way that we think. I had one of those just recently. I was in some pastors' meetings with some fellow pastors, and there was a man that was sharing, and he's preaching to pastors, and oftentimes pastors are driven to build and accomplish and achieve and reach more people, and we ought to be about those things as long as there's one more person, regardless of how big the Lord allows us and graces us to grow. If there's one more person that's far from God, let's go tell them about Jesus. So he's preaching to a room of pastors that are a lot of driven individuals, and a lot of times can fall into the trap of kind of grinding or stressing or striving to partner with God and to see the city reached for Jesus. And he made this statement, and it was one of those oh moments for me. He said, if you read the New Testament, what you'll see is everything Jesus accomplished, he accomplished at the speed of 2 miles per hour. He never stressed, he never strived, he never strained. The disciples did, right? They strained at the oars against the wind and the waves. And Jesus shows up and he says, just chill, guys. I don't know if that's exactly how he said. I do know what he said. He said, peace be still. Peace be still. And in those areas where life is drawing out of me, get with God and let him fill you up. Let him be the bread of life. Let him be the river of living water that once you have tasted of, you'll never thirst again. Let's find God's pace and his grace for the assignments of our life. Hebrews 4:11, there are a lot of these in the Bible. We die to live, we give to receive. And Hebrews 4:11 says, we labor to enter into rest. And here's what I think that means is we've got to determine and decide and be intentional, because naturally what's gonna come to us is anxiety and hustling and bustling and going and straining and striving and worrying about everything. And he says, would you labor to enter into my rest? Would you determine and decide in advance to sometimes catch your breath, take a stop, build rest into your life, build space into your life to hear from Jesus, to rest with him, to cast 1 Peter 5:7, your cares. And in the Amplified, it says, all your anxieties, your worries, all your concerns, once and for all upon him, for he cares about you with deepest affection, and he watches over you very carefully. Thank you, Lord, for bringing refreshing, bringing rest, replenishing anyone who's here today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing rest, refreshing, replenishing to all the moms who are constantly having their spiritual, emotional, and physical resources drawn out from them. Thank you, Lord, that you never called us to do what you've called us to do alone or in our own strength. You always had in your mind the concept and the plan of divine partnership. Semantical, but I've learned that sometimes within something somewhat semantical, there can oftentimes be something quite significant. And we tend to talk about doing something for God. And nothing wrong with that, but the better language, the language you actually find if you read the Bible, is with God. With God. So would you invite him in? Would you invite him into your life to restore you, support you, strengthen you? 1 Peter 5:10, in his kindness, God has called you to share in his glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll close here. The prophet Elijah, mighty man of God. And in fact, he's just accomplished, if you turn a few pages back from 1 Kings 19, Elijah's just accomplished and experienced some of his greatest victories. But turn the page to 1 Kings 19, and it says, Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Even in the midst of his success, he's dealing with this moment where he's asking himself, do I really have what it takes to even move on? And am I really still important to the plans and the purposes of God? And he actually is dealing with suicidal thoughts here. And I just want to take a moment and say, if there's anyone in this room or online and you're dealing with that same lie from the enemy, suicidal thoughts that the world will be better without you or no one would miss you or whatever, can I encourage you today? Can I break that lie from the enemy off of your life? You were created on purpose for a purpose in the image of a great God, and you might really be going through a difficult, hard, challenging season, but do not make a permanent decision based on a temporary circumstance. God sees you. God knows you. God loves you. He has a plan and a purpose, a hope-filled future for you if you'll turn to him. And I break the scheme of suicide, the spirit of suicide over every person within the sound of my voice right now in the name of Jesus. You are important to the plans and purposes of God. Elijah said, Lord, take my life. Verse 5, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. A kairos moment for Elijah. A suddenly moment. And said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals. Come on, carbs are of God. We see it right here. Some of you, you're stressed, and you just need to go eat some carbs this afternoon, moms. For one day, just give yourself some liberty and license to get off the keto train and just eat some carbs, right? There by his head was a cake and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. And really, sometimes you really do just need to take a nap and eat a snack. And I appreciate that's what the angel is showing up here. Elijah is feeling overwhelmed, anxious, fearful about his future. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time, just kind of doubling down on this, and touched Elijah and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. The journey that God has for you is too great for you to do in your own strength or on yesterday's provision. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And he said, the way that we ought to live and the way that we ought to pray is give us this day our daily bread. And it's not an obligation, it's an invitation to every day to invite God into our situation. What's that look like for you this week? What's that look like for you, moms? And you're tired, you're weak, you're worried, you feel like you're heavy laden. What's it look like for you today to be intentional, to labor, to enter into God's rest? I'm gonna create some time and space to be in the word of God. Lord, what are you speaking to me today on a Monday, on a Tuesday, all throughout the week, to find some space to get in a quiet place, to be still and know, to be still and listen. And moving on to Elijah's life, verse 10 through 13, Elijah says, I've zealously served the Lord, but the people of Israel have broken the covenant and killed every one of your prophets. He says, I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. This wasn't true. In that same chapter, down a few verses, there's actually a specific number. There were still 7,000 people who were serving God and pursuing God. But the voice of the enemy came and said, you're all alone. And can I just encourage you, if you're dealing with some things, struggling with some things, you're not alone. The enemy would like to come and cause you to think they don't understand, they don't know, they don't see. You are not alone. And you can afford to be alone. In fact, sometimes that's a prescription. You need to just get some alone time for a day or two, but you cannot afford to stay alone and allow yourself to get isolated from God and from his people, from his plans and his purposes for your life. And so Elijah's saying, I'm the only one. And the angel of the Lord says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, such a terrible windstorm blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And some of us were looking for the answers to life in all the wrong places. We're looking in the wind and the fire and the earthquake, the things where we would expect to find the relief or the breakthrough or the hope or the freedom or the healing or the sense of purpose. And let me encourage you today that in the midst of all those things, all those opportunities, all those opinions or perceived preferences about where you will find your purpose in God. There's one place that you'll find a true, lasting sense of hope, freedom, identity, strength, courage, grace, forgiveness, hope, comfort, peace, and it's getting still in the presence of God. And it's reminding yourself of just how much he loves you. And he sent Jesus to pay a high price to bring you home into a relationship with him. Would you stand to your feet today? And as you stand to your feet, would you do what has become the custom in this house? Would you ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today, Lord? And then let's practice what we preach. And let's take a moment and just listen. Set aside the distractions of the day. For just one moment, just 20 seconds here, 30 seconds here, let's just listen, just listen. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, all who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The Message translation of the same scripture, we'll close with this, says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of my grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Thank you, Lord, that your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Thank you that you're inviting us today to cast our cares. And thank you, Lord, that you're still in the business today of doing miracles. You're still in the business today of refreshing and refilling and restoring your people. And we thank you for it today. We receive it today. Just continue to stay in that posture of listening to whatever it is that the Lord's speaking to you, and allow me the moment to give people an opportunity to say yes to Jesus and to receive the free gift of salvation. That's the language of the Bible. It's a free gift. You don't get good to get God. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't strive or strain to receive it. God comes into your life when you're still far from him, the Bible says. When you're still dealing with the sin and the darkness, he leaves the 99 and he chases after you to come into your life and to offer you a lifeline of forgiveness, restoration, a new life, a fresh start. It's a free gift. And so maybe that's you today, or maybe you're here today and you've drifted from God. You once loved God and maybe even served God. But for whatever reason, if you're honest with yourself, maybe you got preoccupied with those cares and concerns of this world. Maybe you got swept up with the wrong crowd. But if you're honest with yourself, for whatever reason, today you're far from God. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable, which is just a biblical story about someone like you. When he told the parable of the prodigal son, the wayward one who went to his earthly father, said, give me what's mine. And he went out and lived in the world. And like is inevitably true for all of us who have tried that, he finds himself at the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. And Jesus tells the story. He says that that young man came to his senses. And here's what that sounds like in that story. He said, maybe, just maybe, I can go home, and maybe, just maybe, my father will welcome me home, even if just as a servant. And after coming to his senses, he got up and he began that journey. And Jesus tells the story. The rest of the story goes like this. The father, he said, saw him a long ways off. Why is that important? Because it tells us that before the son, the wayward one, the prodigal one, could make it back home and sort things out, the father was already looking for, longing for, hoping for, eagerly anticipating that moment when that wayward one would just begin his journey back to God. And so here's why that's powerfully important to understand. If you're far from God, and today you're coming to your senses and beginning that journey back towards him, he's been looking for you this whole time. And the rest of the story concludes like this. The father runs to the wayward son, embraces him, puts a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, restores him fully as a son, not just as a servant. So if that's you, that's the posture of the father towards you today, arms wide open, ready to restore you as a son or a daughter. So if you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, here's your moment to take your step. And here's the step I wanna ask every one of you to take today that are in either one of those camps or anywhere in between. It's right now. Don't delay. Lift your hand as high, as fast, as far as you can towards your Heavenly Father as you can. Like you're reaching out to receive that free gift of salvation. Like you're reaching out to receive that open embrace of a good Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what these outward hands represent, Lord. Hearts that are being pursued and captured and forgiven by your love. If you raised your hand, and many did, you could lower it. And we're gonna ask you to take a second step, but you are not gonna have to take it alone. You're gonna hear the sound of this entire church family praying this prayer with you as one of the first ways we'll come alongside you and support you in your journey with Jesus if you'll let us. And so, come on, church family, let's pray with some fresh boldness today. Repeat after me, say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life, I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, say it loudly, I will never be the same. And then rejoice with all of heaven for the precious people that came home to him. Hey, happy Mother's Day to you. Let's worship the Lord one more time. We'll come and dismiss you. God bless you.